You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Buns. He's on the line now. My name is Mark Walton. We're looking ahead to a big weekend of boxing in London at the O2, where Ted Cheeseman tops the bill against Sergio Garcia. We've also got a very interesting fight to look forward to over in the States as well, and much more alongside that. How are you, Bunty?
I'm absolutely fantastic. It's a slow start to what's going to be, I reckon, the fastest year we've had. I think we'll have more fights, more champions, more heartbreak, more excitement this year. We thought last year was good. I think this year will be better. But a very slow start. You know, we're in February already.
Yeah, it hasn't quite kicked off yet. I suppose we were expecting the heavyweight division to start kicking off around April anyway, but that might not be happening anymore. And the Joshua camp, not all that happy at the moment, Bunty.
No, they're not, because, I mean, in all fairness, Eddie Hearn, the promoter of Joshua and runs Matchroom Boxing and obviously has an exclusive deal with Sky, it looks like, and I'll choose my words carefully because we don't want to end up in trouble, it looks like they've been mildly outmaneuvered by Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder and perhaps even Dillian Whyte, who's their own fighter, who Dillian is claiming that he's being offered peanuts for a rematch with Anthony Joshua. That's why the April fight at Wembley is in jeopardy. Certainly it's not been made yet, and that means, in my opinion, it's not going to be made. It's just simply too late. Eddie Hearn's talked about pushing that back to May or June at Wembley. There's a suggestion that Eddie will go on the road with Joshua and fight in New York in very early June against a guy called Baby Miller, who's an exciting enough fighter, but an easy win for Joshua, but perfect for the American market. He's got a big mouth and he's from New York. Brilliant. And he's unbeaten. Fantastic. Ticks all the boxes. And then, of course, Joshua and Hearn offered Tyson Fury a lot of money, offered Deontay Wilder a lot of money. Those two politely told Eddie Hearn where to stick it. So Eddie Hearn's found himself with the most popular fighter in the world, Anthony Joshua, the number one heavyweight in the world, Anthony Joshua. But he's finding himself in a position they've never been in, with people demanding, both on social media and in newspapers and on radio and on TV, demanding that Joshua fights one of the names. Well, if all the names are asking for too much money, there's a bit of a problem. And I think Eddie's a little bit tired of it. In fact, Eddie's acting a bit like he's a corner store and suddenly a major brand supermarket's opened up on the left and an even bigger brand supermarket's opened up on the right. I think he's forgotten that he's had a monopoly for several years. And perhaps he's just been outmaneuvered. Nothing wrong with that. It happens to everybody in every walk of life. You get outmaneuvered by somebody at work. Something happens that you didn't see coming, and suddenly someone who's underneath you, or maybe on a par with you, is suddenly above you. And that happens. And so we need to see some fairly drastic action from Joshua to just reconfirm his position with the fans and get a fight made, whether it's Miller in New York in June, whether it's Dillian Whyte in May at Wembley. Get it announced and get it out there and get it done soon.
Is that how they fix it then, Bunty? Just say, right, we'll pay somebody almost what they want, probably won't give them what they want, and then say, let's just get a fight done and crack
absolutely
on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, there are times in boxing as a promoter and as a fighter where you have to take a mild financial risk. Listen, no one's going to lose money here. Let's get that right. This is not one of those situations where, you know, if we pay him an extra million, we're going to lose. No, it's not. There's a lot of money in these productions, a lot of money in these promotions, and unfortunately, you're going to have to dig deep. And once Eddie Hearn was asked once last year, how do you make big fights happen? He said, you just keep offering them money until you find the figure they want. Boxing really is that simple. Let's never forget that. So, you know, if Dillian Whyte has been offered X, offer him double X. If double X is not enough, offer him triple X, because triple X still means you make money. What they've got to do here, and it's too strong to say save face, but Eddie and Joshua and Joshua's people and Sky, they've got to get their act together and get this fight announced. A fight announced.
Do you think we'll see a unification fight all in 2019, maybe back end? Do you think it'll actually happen, or do you think they're skirting around each other too much?
No, I think my gut feeling is earliest, and I've been saying this, I'm not being a genius, but we've been saying this on this pod and on the Five Live pod since the middle of 2017 that my gut feeling was that it would be 2020 before we finally see the man with the WBC belt and the man with the other belts, Joshua and Wilder, in the case right now, fight each other. So I'm looking at May next year, okay. Maybe even the summer next year, maybe even outdoor in the summer next year. I don't see it being squeezed in November, risking the weather. And if Joshua doesn't fight till May or June, it's not going to be in September when you've got favourable weather. Think about it. Yeah. Joshua fought nearly 5 months ago. We haven't got an opponent. He's not going to fight in May and then fight the winner of Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder in September, is he? Just think about it.
You know? No, he's got Summer Stadium fight written all over it.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's not going to be August this year, is it? It's going to be, or July this year. My gut feeling is next year. And there's enough fighters floating around. Dillian White's floating around. Lucas Ortiz is still floating around. Miller's floating around. The winner of Wilder and Fury will be floating. There's five or six fighters in the mix. You know, we've got some fights. Just get one of them named.
Yes.
It's the 1st of February. Get a fight named.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. Get on with it. Let's move on to this weekend's action. We do have fights coming up this weekend. Got a good domestic bill at the O2. We'll move on to the main fight of the night, Sergio Garcia against Ted Cheeseman, in a moment, Bunty. But let's just start with Felix Cash against Rashid Abolaji, because that's quite an interesting fight earlier on in the night. Felix Cash, obviously very short odds. He's 100-1 on to win the fight, which is very short. But he's 10-0. He's got 6 KOs. He should beat Abolaji very comprehensively. It's not so much about tonight, it's about the future of Felix Cash, I suppose.
Yeah, it is indeed. And what it does, it picks up a vacant Commonwealth title here, and that's a decent belt to have. You know, in the world of proliferating belts, that's not a bad belt, trust me. So it's good, and the odds tell you what the fight is, but that's okay. It's about Felix getting a few rounds in. And what Cash is Felix is one of about 15 or so fighters that Eddie Hearn has at Matchroom, and Frank Warren's got about 10 of them. And there's probably another half a dozen floating around. There's probably 30 of them around the country, all unbeaten in between about 6 and or 8 and about 12 or 15 fights. And you could argue that most of them are untested or that they could step up. And I'm hoping that this year is the year of step up. I think this might be the year when, alongside all of the Fury, Wilder, Joshua super fights, and that's what they'll be, I think we might see some really good domestic stuff. Because the way it works, if you've got 30 fighters and you put them in this division over here, let's call it League One, or the Championship. Let's call it a Championship, okay? So you put 30 fighters in the Championship and they've all got to, quote, fight each other. Well, after they, quote, fight each other, they can't all be unbeaten because they're not going to get draws because they fight too hard. So these guys have to meet each other. And there's about 15 of them in and around light middle that could, in theory, do some business. And they need to, in my opinion, get off Twitter, get off challenging everybody, and get in the ring. Because there's some good fights to be made with these different boxers. And I mean, there's some really good creative fights to be made between unbeaten prospects and unbeaten prospects. And boxing public will respond to it because they know them, because of their presence on social media. They know kids that are 8 and 9-0. They know them. They've got a following. Let's get some of these fights made. That's my opinion.
Yeah. You mentioned all those unbeaten prospects. How far can Cash go as a prospect from what you've seen of him? He's mentioned that he wants to emulate the likes of Darren Barker and Nigel Bell, who held this belt, of course, back a few years ago. You know, he wants to get to the top of a weight class that includes the likes of Canelo and Triple G. Can he get that far?
Well, hey, listen, you've got to go. You've got to slowly. I mean, there's the British champion at the weight is a good fighter. The guy that lost in the title, lost for the title in the vacant British title fight in December, is a good fighter. The two guys that contested the title last year, one of them who then gave the title up, they're good fighters. There's at least 10 British fighters, minimum, maybe even 15, in front of Felix Cash. Let's get that right. You know, what you're dealing with here, you know, a mid-table team in footballing terms who have suddenly been elevated to fight for some kind of intercontinental cup. You know, first of all, he's got to prove himself by beating some of those mid-table teams and moving closer. You know, there are dozens. I mean, there's literally a dozen middleweights in this country. This doesn't include Billy Joe Saunders, who had to give in his WBO title last year. But, you know, there's loads of fighters that can be recycled. And I would just like to see some slightly more competitive fights for these guys, because a guy that's 10-0, a guy that's got a lot of publicity, a guy that's a full-time pro for the last 3 or 4 years, we can't call a test 100-1 on odds. That's not a test. That's just another fight.
Yeah.
It's terrific. It's business. It's not illegal. It's fine. But if we're talking about Felix Cash next January, and he's on 16-0, and he's in a fight where he's, the odds have been reduced to 1-70, okay, we're not progressing, are we?
not very much anyway.
These guys aren't stupid, and the fights need to be made, and the British public will respond to nice 50-50, 55-45 domestic fights. The public will respond, trust me.
I think we'd all be surprised if he didn't win, so we expect him to win. What, how does he win? Does he knock him out on
I think he'll get to him in that 5-6, 5-6-7.
Okay.
So there might be a bit of money. There might be a bit of value there.
Yeah, 5, 6, and 7 are all priced up at 11-1 apiece, so you could split your stakes.
That's not the end of the world, is it?
On them. No, it's not. And 8-13 to win by knockout. So we'll leave that there. We'll move on to the feature of the night: Sergio Garcia against Ted Cheeseman. Cheeseman 2-5. The draw 18-1. Garcia is 2-1. William will sponsor this fight, and I'm looking forward to this as well, because Cheeseman is one of those with potential that is challenging better opposition now.
Well, listen, what happened with Teddy, remember, is that he toodled along 14 or so fights. He had half a test included in there, and then suddenly, last time out, he stepped up, and he stepped up in a fight that was, if it wasn't 50-50, it was close to 50-50. And the good thing about that against the senior Byfield, I mean, I personally thought that was a 50-50 fight. And he boxed brilliantly over 12 rounds. Byfield looked like a novice. He made a really good fighter, Byfield. I thought he was a good fighter. He made him look like a novice. He really did. And it was a great performance. The type of performance that I'd like to see Felix Cash, the type of performance I'd like to see Anthony Fowler, the type of performance I'd like to see Joshua Boazzi in with, a good 50-50 domestic fight, and Cheeseman came through with flying colours, and I mean flying colours. That was exactly what I'd like to see more of next year. Garcia, you know what? It's a strange one, because I thought the Spanish would be protecting him a little bit more. I think the Spanish fancy this fight. That's why it's here and not in Spain. Because the traditional way is, if you don't fancy the fight, if you're German, French, Spanish or Italian, then you get the challenger. You get the challengers to come to you. It's as simple as that. But Eddie Hearn, done the business. Teddy's popular. I fancy Teddy here, but this is not a walkover. This is not a foregone conclusion under any circumstances.
No, I mean, the opponent, Garcia's 28 fights, 28 wins, 13 by knockout. He's not, you know, he's not a bad fighter. It's a big. It's actually a step up again for Cheeseman, isn't it? And he needs to go prove that he can do it.
Teddy's a young kid, right? He's 23 years of age, I think. But he's really seasoned. He had a really long and hard amateur career. He was in some really hard and difficult fights. So consequently, he's ready now. So this kind of fight here, this is a really good fight. This is a real good test. Then you can have a little look and see how the world scene looks and see if there's a gap at light middle. It's a tough division, I've got to be honest with you. So don't think you just float in it. Don't think you just float in at light middle somewhere and get an easy touch. There are very few easy touches. But if you put this, if he were to beat Garcia, and I think he does, and then you put that with the Byfield win, and then he were to have a similarly good fight, that's three good wins on a row. Now, that's a rare run in modern British boxing. You know, that's what Froch did, but Froch was a decade or so ago. You know, Joshua's been on a good run of wins against good opponents. But in general, don't shout it too loud. We don't, you know, our boxers at the moment aren't going back-to-back good fights. The good ones are Selby's and Warrington, sure, but most of them aren't, and there's 1,000 of them. So it'll be really fantastic. Cheeseman gets through this. I think he gets through this on points. I don't think it's easy. I'd love to see him stop him, but I think he gets through it on points. Then he moves on.
Okay. Points win for Cheeseman is 11-8, so that's obviously a bigger price than the 2-5 on offer him just to win the fight. If you do fancy him to get it done early, I think some of our traders are going enhanced with that as well. Cheeseman to win in rounds 1-6, 5s out to 7s, if you fancy him to storm on the scene once more and be impressive. I mean, he has spoken a big game, hasn't he, Cheeseman, saying he's gonna Garcia should expect a spiteful assault, I think the quote was, and saying, you know, he's not gonna be satisfied with a point success, and he's going to go take his head off pretty much.
Well, the thing is, he's been given main billing on a Sky show, and it's a big arena. So just winning is good, but it's probably not enough for Ted. I mean, Ted fancies doing the job, but one of the problems with that is that, you know, you can leave yourself a bit vulnerable. I think Ted and the people in his corner, Tony Sims, his head trainer, I think they're really sensible. And they showed that against Byfield when they boxed really cleverly and smartly. Had he had a war with Byfield, he might have lost. Had he been stupid against Byfield, he would have lost. Same applies for Garcia. He's good at putting pressure on Ted. And there is every chance. I mean, my side bet here would be last three rounds, Cheeseman, stoppage. But I just fancy points. You know, I know he can box. I know he's got a good boxing brand. And I know he can use it. And that would still satisfy the crowd because he's not a negative boxer. He's a very positive boxer. So, you know, he might be going for a points win, but he'll go for it in a very aggressive way. So, yeah. In that sense, I fancy Cheeseman on points. And I half fancy those last three rounds.
All right, well, main bet 11 to 8, Cheeseman on points, and then you can have a saver on rounds 10 to 12, 8 to 1. You only have to put a small stake on that to have a saver, of course, with even a bigger price.
Yeah.
Got all bases covered. Let's move on to a fight that we're looking forward to in the early hours of Sunday morning over in America. It's in Texas at the Ford Centre. Alvarez against Kovalev, 4 to 7 Alvarez. The draw 16 to 1. Kovalev is 11 to 8, so quite tight in the betting there.
We
do. There's talk of Kovalev trying to keep his career alive. He, of course, lost the previous fight between them by knockout, despite being ahead on three judges' cards, I think, at that point. Was it a fluke first time round, or what do you make of it, Bunsey? Interesting.
Well, no, I've always been, you know, waiting for a fight, and I've always had something to prove, and I think it was always a dangerous fight. I thought that, watching it unfold, that Kovalev would be okay, but then he started to tire about sort of round, you know, six-ish or so. Just little signs that he may be getting a bit tired. No, I got a bit tired quickly. I'm not sure if that was weight or if he had some sort of virus in his training. And then Alvarez didn't hold back. Once he saw his gap, once he saw his chances, he went for it in no uncertain terms, and deserved the stoppage. Delighted to have a rematch. And I think those odds tell you this is a tight fight. It's a good fight. It's a hard fight. And it's the sort of fight that we'll find out what Kovalev has left. He's given us some, you know, he's given us 4 or 5 years of exciting fights, win or lose. He's given us some really terrific stuff. He had 3 defeats, only 2 defeats before going in last time. But, you know, since he beat Nathan Cleverly back in 6 years ago now, nearly six and five and a half years ago, which was a shock at the time, trust me, people think it wasn't. It was. You know, let's put it, it was meant to be a tight fight. And he had a couple of ups and downs with Ward, Andre Ward, you know, Ward swung some of them. Ward's a better fighter than anyone will ever give him credit for. But there were good wins and there were some really, you know, nasty finishes. So I think this is a terrific fight. I've just got a feeling Kovalev might have enough left in the tank. I really have. I think Alvarez would be confident, super confident, and that's always dangerous against a banger. But I know one thing, if I'm wrong, Kovalev won't get the 7 rounds this time. So you'll know very soon, but I just fancy Kovalev. I just fancy Kovalev, but if he's not right, and if I'm wrong, then I think Alvarez will get to him quicker than 7.
Right, okay. Kovalev 11-8. If you think he can avoid that early trouble, then perhaps. Good stuff, Bunty. Been a pleasure speaking to you as always. Out of all that, what's your favourite bet? What's your strongest opinion?
Strongest opinion is Cheeseman wins.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. And I'm starting to fancy Cheeseman those last couple of rounds now. I think the Spaniard might. I think the Spaniard might dislike about 10,000 people breathing and screaming down his neck. Because when you've never lost and you've had 28 fights, a long time unbeaten, and everything's going your way, and suddenly you're about 8 or 9 rounds down, going into the last three, and Teddy will send it. And Teddy's got a freak engine. I mean, a freak engine. He could finish this fight and run home if he lived 26 miles away, do a marathon. So I'm starting to fancy Cheeseman in those last 2 or 3.
Okay, 8 to 1, remember the price if you fancy him to get it done later on. Thank you very much, Bunty.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.